Well, with the combined applause from here and there, whoa. We are poised here at the beginning of a brand new year, you know, and we, all this potential, all this possibility, it's just so promising. New life. I know. It is amazing. I think it is amazing. And Happy New Year, by the way. Happy New Year. Today we're going to do a ritual to receive a new name. Well, what's in a name? A lot. A whole lot. Who of you has, probably women, has changed their last name when you married? Yeah, quite a few of us. It's kind of a big deal, isn't it? It is. It took me a long time, you know, and I've had several last names, so to get used to writing the one that was current, you know, not that bad, but every time I changed my name, it was just something, you know, you change yourself a little bit too. Name is a big deal. When I've heard men say, you know, I want to have children to keep my name, keep the name going. You know, name is important. It's very important. Have you ever thought about changing your name? I did. I see some nods. Some of my classmates changed their names. And true to what we're going to be doing today, when you've had, especially a spiritual experience what the classmates that I had, it was in ministerial school, and so much of that was at ordination or after ordination, and so they changed their names. For the most part, the ones that I remember, one woman added a new first name. She changed her first name. She became Sophia. She wanted Sophia as her first name. Another woman in that same class, this was the class before me, instead of using her first name like she had been doing, she started using the initials of her first name and her middle name, so she became BJ. Two of my classmates changed how they were referring to themselves. One, the classmate that I've referred to before that passed away this summer, we all knew him as Lenny. And sometime after ordination and in his ministry, he knew that he wanted to be called by his given name, Lennis. It was just different. Another classmate, and you know him, he's been here, James Stacy. We knew him as Jeff in school. Jeffrey is his middle name, but at some point he needed and decided that it was him to call himself James. And so I'm still learning, you know, but I'm getting better at it, you know. So change our name sometimes to reflect who we really are. I believe that what it does is it lets us outwardly represent who we believe and feel that we have come to be. The name that we receive today when we do this white stone ceremony isn't one that's going to be legal. You aren't going to put it anywhere, like on your bags or monogram towels or anything. It's not that kind of a name. But it is a name that can be of great use to you, I think, to us, as we go forward into 2016, because it can be used as a reminder of who we have come here to represent, who we have come here to be. Lots and lots of Unity churches are doing the White Stone Ceremony today. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. It's typically done, as we are doing it, as a follow-up to the Burning Bowl. How many of you were here last week for Burning Bowl? Some of you? In the Burning Bowl, we take the opportunity to release, and feeling lighter, we release that which no longer serves us. And then we come into today ready and cleared and ready to do this white stone. We're going to be doing this ritual in a few minutes. Everybody should have been given a stone. Has everybody got one? If you don't, just hold on to them. We're going to use them in just a little bit. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Looks like we're all good. Okay. I want to thank Jerry and for greeting today until our regular greeter came. He did a great job of getting materials to everybody. I said, "You've done this a lot." And he said, No. He's just good at it. Okay, so you have the white stone. We're going to use these to identify our new name. But why would we do this? What is this all about? The basis for this ceremony comes from Scripture in Revelation. Now, Revelation isn't a book that I read and go, "Oh yeah, it's kind of hard to read." You know, it's a lot of, there are metaphors, allegories, maybe fantasy. If you read some of it, where did that come from? Revelation has a good amount of stuff in it, but there is a scripture, and it is chapter 2, verse 17, and it says this: "Let anyone who has an ear listen. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." So that's the scripture, where this comes from. And I think it's lovely when we look at it metaphysically, which is what we're going to do now as we, before we prepare to receive and write our new name. So this passage actually has a couple of actions, and it's got three promises. So I'd like to talk about each of the actions first. So the first one says, it's about listening. It says, "Let anyone who has an ear listen." When we think about listening, when we're thinking about it in spiritual terms, listening has to do with that inner listening. It's not the outer ears. We listen with the inner ear. We listen for the soul. And so it is very common in meditation that we are able to do this listening, being open and receptive. We talk a lot about that still small voice, and that's what we are wanting to hear. To listen to. Meditation is a tool that helps us quiet our busy minds. You know, lots of us have minds that just want to go chatter, 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 busy, busy, busy. So meditation helps us to become still and to be quiet so that then we can hear that guidance, that still small voice. And when we listen, we open our minds and our hearts to that intuitive divine wisdom that becomes possible for us. So that's the first one, the listening. To anyone who has an ear, to listen. To anyone who has an ear, listen. And so it is about that inner listening. The second action is actually surrender. Next passage says, "To everyone who conquers." Now, this isn't some kind of outer war that we're talking about conquering. It is that inner war. Who has had inner wars? Yeah. Just pick a day and I'll tell you which one it was. You know, so, do I eat this? Do I not? Do I get up and exercise? Do I not? You know, those are the silly things. We have inner conflict all the time. So this overcoming that we're talking about has to do with how we're dealing with those inner warring factions. One side of us wants to go down the right path. The other side, "You don't have to do it today." One side of us, is, "This is the right thing to do." And the other side is saying, "Nah, don't do that. Heck with them. Let's do what you want." It's usually that loud, demanding voice that we hear so easily is often the ego. And the ego wants us to do what we want, when we want, how we want it, and the heck with everybody else. Recognize it? I do, yes. But the other voice that we do want to listen to is the still small voice. So that war that happens inside, when we take the time to listen, when we practice that, we get better and better able to tune into and listen to the still small voice, not to be paying attention to the loud, noisy ego one. When we do that, That's how we conquer. That's how we overcome. That's how we are conquering, if you will. And what it amounts to really is surrendering. To one who conquers is the surrendering. It is surrendering our personal will to the divine will. It is listening for divine guidance. It is saying, not my will, but thine be done. And you know what happens when we do that? Things go so much better. We are so much happier. We are so much more fulfilled when we can do that. When we surrender to divine will, the paradox is that when it seems like surrender, you know, it's a weak thing, but actually it's not. We are victorious. We are the victors when we are able to do that. And it really is essentially a rebirthing of our essential self, of who and what we truly are, every time we're able to do that. So those are the activities, the listening and the surrendering. I said there were three promises. There are three promises. It says, to everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So those are the three things. The first one is hidden manna. Now we remember the story from Genesis of Moses when he has the Israelites and they're wandering around out in the wilderness. And they're so worried because they don't see any visible form of nourishment, of food. They're, well, what are we going to do? And they complain. And Moses talks to God, and God said, okay, here's what I'll do. I will provide manna. It's going to be there every morning when they get up. And it was. So this nourishment then that God provided was there in exactly the right amount. If they tried to get more, just to kind of store it, it would spoil. If they picked up less, there was always enough when they came to use it. So what that tells us metaphysically is there is always enough when we turn to God. God is our manna, provides everything. When we turn within, we find everything that we need. We are given spiritual energy and nourishment that sustains us. When we look within, we have everything that we need. The second promise is a white stone. Where did that come from? Well, what I read was in the time of Jesus' life, there was a practice of when a person was got out of either jail or was released from bondage of some kind, he was given a white stone. And that was sort of like his ticket. That was it was his proof that he had done his time and he was free. He was a free man. So that's what the white stone represents, is freedom. Freedom. Well, we're not in prison, we're not in jail, but I would offer that we are often in prison from our own limiting thoughts and ideas. Oh, I can't, you know, I couldn't do that. I'm not enough. Any of those limiting, self-negating kinds of ideas, they keep us in bondage just as much as physical chains do. And so when we're talking about a white stone, we want to set aside anything and everything that is not for our highest best. And we want that white stone to symbolize the freedom that we have. We are beloved of God. We are one with the divine. We are free and unlimited, and that is the truth. That's the white stone. The third promise is a new name. I've already told you about the names of my classmates, and I've played back and forth with the idea of taking a new name. In the Bible, there are lots of examples of name changes, lots of them. Saul, who was hated by the early Christians, feared because he was ruthless and he would persecute and kill whenever he would find them. He had a personal experience. He was struck, he fell down on his knees, he was blinded, and he heard Jesus' voice talking to him. He was blind for 3 days, and when he got to, I forgot where it was, Damascus or wherever it was that he was going to, and he did what the voice told him to do, and his sight was restored, and at that time he got a new name. He became Paul. Metaphysically, Saul represents the personal will. But Paul represents enlightened will. So he transformed. Lots of other changes. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 62, "You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give." So God did say several times, you now will be called, and there was a new name. Abram was the man's name at first. Abraham, who is the basis of the Jews, of us, and of Islam, kind of started the whole thing. He was at first called Abram, and he was, and as he grew spiritually, God named him Abraham. His wife, and I'm not sure how it's pronounced, Sarai or Sari, her name changed too, because she and Abraham were traveling, and she finally had a child very, very much later in life. But when her name changed, she became Sarah. Jacob, a descendant of Abraham, was renamed Israel. So there are example after example of God giving people new names based on their spiritual growth. Simon was renamed Peter. You know, it says, "On this rock I will build my church," Peter. So when we awaken to this inner spirit, we become new people. We take on a new identity. I don't know about you, but when I think back to the days, I mean, I've always had a relationship with God, but when it really became personal, back in my late 20s, early 30s, I'm not the person I was before that. It changes you, and you can't go back once you have that new identity. And really what it is, I think each time we, it's like going deeper, deeper into that essence of us, a deeper realization of our own I am within us. And so that's where this ceremony comes in, this white stone ceremony. In the passage we're told, "I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." So you were given a white stone. So I invite you now just to take the stone and hold it in your hand. These stones, by the way, there's a little card inside your bag. They are actually from Jerusalem. The company is Jerusalem Stone, but there's an explanation in here. I'll get my pencil out. There's some leading up preparation. So here's your stone. So you're holding it. As you hold it, open your mind to receiving or hearing your new name. Know that all activity is sacred. So if your name comes to you, then go ahead and write it down. If nothing comes to you during this ceremony, take the stone home with you and continue to ask, because whenever we ask, we do receive. As we begin to prepare ourselves, first I would ask you to let your awareness drop from your head down into your heart. When we are in our heads, it's our intellect that is speaking. But when we go down into our hearts, maybe the gut, we're into that deep knowing. We're into that place of connection. Listen for the still small voice. Here and now, this is the beginning of a brand new year. There is possibility, unbelievable possibility here. So I invite you to consciously surrender to the activity of the divine. Open your imagination. Allow wisdom to speak. Give your ego a few minutes off and let that divine holy voice in you come through. Perhaps there's a new career, or a new title, or a new quality that Spirit is pressing out through you. Give yourself permission to know that as you release that which no longer serves you, you can claim a new identity, a new name. Allow yourself to ask a question: who am I, or what am I called to be in this coming year? Who am I, or what am I called to be in this coming year? As I let go of my old habits, those that I released during the burning bowl, what is it that I am now called to be known as? This new character identity that you intend to cultivate in the coming year might be connected to whatever you released last week, or it might be something totally new. This is a moment in which you know you are free, free from all that has bound you. Breathe in, live in this new beginning, in this new possibility. As you are guided by Spirit, I invite you to trust in this now moment. As Spirit gives to you in this sacred place, in this moment of truth, an insight into your divine purpose, an insight into your holy essence. Might be a title, maybe something like a published author, or clean and sober, or grateful, whatever. Sometimes people write down just a word, like peace, or love, or joy, or presence, and they intend to take on a new essence of who they are becoming. As the name begins to be more and more clear, write it on your stone. If a name has come to you, remain quiet and allow yourself to ask for a deeper understanding, to ask if there are any steps to take. In this moment, allow yourself to simply open to Spirit, to say, God in me reveals my true essence. God in me reveals my next step. God as me lives a joyous, peaceful, fulfilling life. And so in that secret place of the Most High, I now invite you to allow yourself to hear the new name that is speaking within you. Going forward, from this time forward, you can look at your stone at any time, and it can be a reminder of who you have come here to be, what you have come here to be this year. You can, and it's always a choice. We often have those conflicts within us, but the white stone can be a reminder to surrender, to listen, surrender, and then look at the stone. Who am I? Who have I come here to be? This carries a new name, a spiritual identity, and a deeper awareness of your soul's journey, your path for this coming year. No one in the whole universe knows the name that's on your, the word or phrase or name that's on your stone. It's yours. You may share it or not. It's up to you. It's uniquely yours. But it has come to your awareness to be expressed at this time. Through you this year. It is what your true sense, your true inner self has come here to be at this time. It is a whisper from your soul that you are so much more than you have ever let come into expression. We are told in Scripture, and we know it to be true, that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Knowing that God only wants good for us, we accept this consciousness of expanding goodness, of accepting good in our lives. So we can use this then also as a reminder of that promise. And then as we think about that, often a sense of gratitude, a great thankfulness can come over us as we consider our new name. Along with this come the power and the guidance to achieve all that we want. We wouldn't have received it if it were not possible to do. This is our new name. We see it. We decree it. We are on the path to gaining greater insights and awareness and a new beginning. So let us take this name, this new realization, and go into a time of communion, of connection with our Maker. So if you will allow your body to relax, bring to mind your word or the expectation of your new word. Bring that into mind. Let that name fill you, fill your mind, fill your heart. Allow it to just soak into every cell in your body. When we take on a name, it becomes our identity. It is very important. And so here and now we have an opportunity to begin to embody this new name and all that applies. As we do each week, we take a few moments in silence to connect, to be still, to listen, to hear that still small voice. And as we are open and receptive and silent, considering our name, our new name, we willingly, openly, and gratefully receive what is ours to receive. In the silence. We are grateful. We are grateful for so much. We're grateful for all the blessings that have come to us in past days. We're grateful for today, for this opportunity for a new beginning, a new vision, a new possibility for us on our spiritual path. We are grateful for the awareness that we are never alone, that we are with our Creator at all times. We say that God is omnipresent, everywhere present, always. We're never alone. We are grateful for the possibility, the promise of the new year. We go forward into that year gratefully, expectantly, confidently. So we close our time of contemplation, our time of connection, by once again hearing the words of our way-shower, Jesus Christ, repeating those words as we also affirm the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.